I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do, because love who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever God wishes. I am content to be wherever love wishes, knowing that love goes there with me. I will be healed as I let love teach me to heal. I will be healed as I let God teach me to heal. I give you to the Holy Spirit, the loving Spirit, as part of myself. I know that you will be released unless I want to use you to imprison myself. In the name of my freedom, I choose your release, because I recognize that we will be released together. You are entitled to miracles. You're innocent, juicy, and sweet. I appreciate you, and I want to ask Spirit to use my body. And I want to ask you to remember that you need not believe the ideas. You need not accept the ideas. Some of the ideas, I'm telling you, you might actively resist. Some of it you're going to find, some of it you're going to find hard to believe, and some of it might startle you. You're not being asked to judge. Nobody's trying to convert you. But if you use the Course in Miracles ideas, you'll see that the Course in Miracles ideas are true. All right. Today, we're going to finish up on fear and conflict on page 29 in the text. And I'm going to start the paragraph 4 on page 29. I'm going to read it first, and then we'll go back and see if we can get the juice out of it. The correction of fear is your responsibility. The correction of fear is your responsibility. When you ask for release from fear, you are implying that the fear isn't your responsibility. You should ask for help in the conditions that brought the fear about. Instead of being asked to be released from your fear, instead of being asked to be released from your conflict, you should ask for help in the conditions that brought the conflict and fear about. The conditions that bring about the fear and conflict, these conditions always entail a willingness to be separate. At that level, which is your willingness to be separate, you can't help it. You are much too tolerant of mind wandering. You are passively condoning your mind's miscreations, the particular result of condoning the crazy thoughts that go through your mind. The particular result of condoning your mind's miscreations doesn't matter. The particular result doesn't matter, but the fundamental error does matter. And does matter. The correction is always the same. Before you choose to do anything, ask God if your choice is in accord with God's. Before you choose to do anything, ask me, your higher self, if your choice is in accord with mine. Before you choose to do anything, ask love if your choice is in accord with love's. If you are sure that your choice is in accord with God, if you're sure that your choice is in accord with your real self, if you're sure that your choice is based on love, there will be no fear. So, before you choose to do anything, ask yourself, is this in accord with me? Is this in accord with my heart? Is this in accord with Spirit? Is this in accord with God? I'm about to make this choice. I need to ask myself if it's really and truly in my heart, in accord with myself. If I am in accord with myself, I won't be afraid about my choice. I won't have any conflict about my choice. I won't have any doubt about my choice. The problem I have with that is, if that's true, most of the things I choose are wrong. If this is true, then most of the stuff I choose is wrong, because I very seldom make every choice and have no doubts, no fear, no conflict about the choice at all. So I don't like this. Would you give me a glass of water, Bunny? I appreciate it. Oh, it's a manifestation. That's what I like. I'm bad. You know, it's impossible to not receive what you already have. Start that passing along. Start asking for what you already have. Your desires will be fulfilled a lot faster. Okay. Just a little Course in Miracles thought. Yeah, all the things, I'm telling you, I'm not just brilliant. I'm just saying stuff from the Course. Thank God I can read. So I'll say it again, because that's what I like about the Course in Miracles. It's just easy. I mean, you don't have to agree with it. Who cares if you agree with it? It doesn't affect the laws of the universe whether or not you or me agree with it. It's funny. It's like, it's kind of hilarious when you think about it. You know, oh, well, if I don't believe it, it just couldn't be true. I am the arbiter of what's real, you know. If I don't agree, you couldn't be right. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
So, the Course says, if you're sure that your choice is in accord with God, if you're sure that your choice is in accord with love, same things. If you're sure that your choice is in accord with God, he says, there will be no fear. And then it goes on to tell you what fear is. The Course says, fear is always a sign of strain. Okay? So when you say, I feel afraid, you're really saying, I really feel strained. I feel strained about my financial situation. I feel strained about my relationship. I feel strained about my job. I feel strained about my body. I feel strained about my health. I feel strained. I feel fear means I feel strained. Okay, then it goes on and says, well, let me tell you why you feel fear. The fear comes up whenever what you want conflicts with what you do. So every time that you're doing something that you don't want to do, you're producing a strain which produces fear. So if I ask my higher self to help me make a choice, and I don't feel fear, and I do feel fear, I just ask God, I'm not about to make a choice, I just ask Spirit, but I still feel fear, then the fact that I still feel fear means that I'm getting ready to ask myself to do something I don't want to do. Because fear is always a sign of strain that comes from what you want being different from what you're doing. So if I ask for something and I feel fear about it, I'm asking for something I don't really want.
What?
If fear is a sign of strain, and fear comes from not doing what you want to do. It says right here, fear rises whenever what you want conflicts with what you do. Okay? And it just says in the paragraph before that, before you choose to do anything, ask Spirit, ask Jesus, ask whatever your name is for the love that created us all. Everybody's got a different one or none at all. Personally, I like Jesus. It took me a while to like Jesus, but thanks to the Course, I like Jesus now. I wasn't too keen on Jesus before the Course, but the Course helped me forgive Jesus. But you know what I found out? I was really forgiven. I was forgiven what I learned. That's my problem with God and Jesus. It wasn't with God and Jesus. My problem with God and Jesus was what I learned. And so sometimes I take my learning for being reality. So just because I learned to believe it's about something, I think it really is that way. I love having more sense than that now. Oh, my spiritual teaching, learning is working, you all. It's actually working. It's really something working. I've had so much love this weekend. I'm like in love overwhelmed. You know, I get something go. But they locked me up. So I have to look like a normal person.
I know.
But on the inside, I'm going. Now, sometimes I look like this, too, when I'm laughing. So sometimes people tell me stuff that's so hilarious. That's to think a child of God could suffer. That it's my job to laugh at it and not make it real so they won't stay in the hell they're putting themselves in. Because I won't buy into your weakness with you. But I might have to look sympathetic so that you won't feel insulted. On the inside. Yeah, because that means another plan you made has failed. You know, another plan you've made to make yourself happy has failed, which brings you closer to asking for the real plan that your Creator made for your happiness. So every time one of your plans fail, heaven is glad. So I guess why it looks like your prayer is not answered. Nobody wants you to succeed at them. That's deep. Nothing that loves you wants you to succeed at a plan based on separation and fear and lack of guidance from God. Nobody in their right mind wants your plan to work, the plan you make up by yourself, without checking into spirit to see if it's the right thing to do. You'll never get me to support one of your plans like that. Because you're going to sign some roles to people, and you're going to be expecting them to act that role out. And if they don't, you're going to get mad. And you're going to have a grievance. And you're going to get mad at me. No, I stick out this and not answer your phone number. I'm seeing who's checking in, because the court says that fear always arises. It's a sign of strain. It arises whenever what you want conflicts with what you do. Now, how does it end up that we're in situations where we're doing something we don't want to do? Well, it's about to explain this. It says the way you end up in something that you don't want to do is by choosing to do conflicting things either simultaneously or successively. So I'm doing a bunch of stuff that conflicts at the same time, or I'm doing one thing after another that I don't want to do. I'm going to a job I don't want to. Driving a car I don't want to. Going back to a place to live that I don't want to. Seeing a person that I'll be with tonight that I don't want to see. Watching TV shows that I don't really want to look at. Laying in the bed I don't really want to be in a city I don't really want to be in. And that's producing strain. That's producing fear. That's producing conflict. I'm thinking thoughts I don't want to think. I'm acting the way I don't want to act. The court says that's where fear comes from. Fear doesn't come from external things that we think is going to happen to us. Fear comes from not doing what you want to do with yourself. That's deep, man. Then it goes on and says, now, when you're that way, it produces conflicted behavior. Of course, a person that's not doing what they want to do all day is full of conflict, so they got to have conflicted behavior. And then he says, conflicted behavior becomes intolerable, right, to you, because the part of your mind that wants to do something else is outraged. You know, the part of you that's going to work is another part of you that don't want to go to the job that you don't want to go to, and that part of you is outraged. Every time you go home with somebody and in a relationship with somebody and stay in something with somebody that you don't really want to be in your heart, there's a part of you that's outraged. Of course, the part of you that's outraged is the part of you that's doing what it don't want to do. Part of your mind wants to do something else. Part of your mind wants to be created. Part of your mind wants to succeed in your life the way you want to in your heart. Part of your mind wants you to have a purposeful life. Part of your mind wants you to be completely happy. Part of your mind wants you to be completely powerful. Part of your mind wants you to be completely fulfilled. And it's outraged. Second. I like being dramatic. I tell you that right now. I just can't help it. I got to be dramatic, man. I used to run around behind my older sisters and brothers when I was a kid, because I saw the whole thing as a soap opera. I did. I remember being 8 or 9 years old, seeing it. Totally. I would wake up in the morning, and the first thing I said, "This is the Adventures of the Purdy Family." And then I had my own theme song. Then I said, starring Joe Purdy, Georgia Purdy. Then I named all my brothers and sisters. There were 7 of us. But of course, it starred Al Purdy. You know, I had to credit starring. You know, I was me. And And so I was, because I just knew it couldn't be real. This had to be a dream that I was living in. You know what I'm saying? People not loving each other, looking like what you love could die. You see people acting like you're different from them because your color, your skin, different. You know, it's like, it just seemed crazy to me. But I just, so I just knew no God that loved me would put me in a world that I could be even accidentally hurt. I wouldn't have to be looking out, learning how to look out for myself so that nothing would happen to me. I'm created by a God that won't even let anything happen to me, even if I want to. That's the one I want. You mean, oh, you mean even if I do something stupid, it's going to turn out all right? That's my God. Not the one that I got to always be figuring out how to not make another mistake. And that's what this course is offering me. A fail-safe, unconditionally, all-loving, infinitely intelligent, higher being that it looks like it's not around because it's there, but we don't know how to see it. So the book says, well, first thing you need to do is get rid of fear and conflict. So in order to get rid of fear and conflict so you can listen to your own inner guidance, and please be clear, you all, I'm not trying to get y'all to believe in my God. I'm not trying to get you to believe in anything outside of me. I'm not trying to be your leader. I don't want to be any of those things. But those are people that die. I don't have no desire to be as famous as Martin Luther King. None of those folks. I want to quietly love through the world, harmlessly, partying like a big dog, reminding people of the truth, being so anonymous I can do anything I want to without anybody caring, and enjoying my life. Yeah. I love the ultimate freedom of being unknown. I don't want to walk out of here and see 20 paparazzi out there trying to see what I do. I don't want people going through my garbage can. Where does strain come from? Doing what you don't. How many of you got some things you're doing that you don't want to do? Everybody raise your hand. Even if you didn't raise your hand, we know you lied. You ain't that positive. All right. Then how many of you have some strain and some fear? Okay. See the connection? Just like I said, I'm doing what I don't want to do, and yes, I do feel some strain. But the trick to keep me in the strain is to make me think that the fear is coming from the thing or the effect of not doing what I want to do, instead of me realizing that the fear is originating from me not doing what I want to do. Now, it'll look like sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do at the beginning of your awakening, because you would have set your life up where you believed a lot had to do with sacrifice. So you had put yourself in a position where you were doing a lot of things you didn't want to do, and you thought that sacrifice was love. So when you wake up to start to wake up to who you really are, you're inevitably appalled by the sight of what you've done to yourself, and that's a normal stage in awakening. So if you are appalled at some aspects of your life, it's a sign that you have finally awakened. Amen? Okay, so that means now you're on the way. So the Course says now, second, you behave as you think you should without entirely wanting to do so. So if you're the kind of person that's always behaving the way you think you should, but you really don't want to, you're behaving the way you think you should, but you really like, most of the time, when I'm up here, I'm behaving the way I think I should, but I really don't want to. I would be a lot more outrageous if you all were a lot more outrageous. But see, it don't make no sense for me to get totally outrageous and everybody else laid back and quiet. It'll look crazy. But if we all like on the same level pretty much, then it makes sense. So I try to match the environment that I go into in order to connect with people. So don't think for a second that the Earl that y'all seeing now is as extroverted as he could be, or as joyous as he could be, or as anything as he could be. He ain't. But I'm keeping in tune with the gradient of the room, because that's the way you're doing. So as you let me see more of you, then I'll let you see more of me. But I'm going to love you in every stage I'm in. But how much somebody shows it to you has a lot to do with your own enthusiasm about them. Like somebody can love you deeply and you don't know it because you're not stimulating enthusiastic outer behavior out of them to show you that they love you, even though they do, because you have to show them that kind of enthusiasm about them. And then they give it back to you because that's the law of the universe. And I used to live in a world where I was always waiting for people to give me things first. And then once they gave me the trust and the joy and everything first, then I'm gonna be nice, Earl. So I'm just always sitting there. I'm a nice person waiting. And you'll be waiting the rest of your life. And you'll still be a nice person. But you'll be waiting in your rocking chair. And be like, how did something go wrong? I was a nice person. Why don't I have anybody? Why am I loving? You didn't give what you wanted to receive. You waited for it to come to you without you giving it. So I try, when I walk into a room, I'm nervous and bashful a lot of times. There's a real bashful side to me, but I'll go ahead and I'll extend anyway. Hey, what you doing? How you doing? It's great to be here. I had to take a breath. Okay, here we go. I do that every time. I'm quiet when I come in the room because I'm getting centered and reminding myself that I'm safe and tuning it to the Holy Spirit. Because it's scary to talk to y'all sometimes. Sometimes when I tell you that you deserve unconditional love, you look at me like this. I tell you the most thrilling being that God ever created, I look out there and I see some people like this. Then I look out there and tell people that they're eternal and powerful, and I see some people looking at me like this. Who you think gets my most attention? And everybody else just get the fallout. That's what you want. You want to have so much love that everybody else is not putting it out there for whatever reason. They innocent. Just give them the fallout. Give them the overflow. But give the person that's giving it to you your 100% focus. And that's what I do. You're giving it to me, I'm going to give it to you. If you're not giving it to me, then I'm going to love you anyway and give it to who's giving it to me. And that's cool, ain't it? Because I don't want to keep doing what I don't want to do and making myself go through fear and strain. I don't want to do one thing after another and simultaneously that I don't want to do all day. When I go inside and ask my higher self what direction I want to go in my life, I don't want to have any doubt and fear. And if I do have doubt and fear, I want to be smart enough to tell myself that I must not really be sure that I want what I'm asking for. And if I'm not sure that I want what I'm asking for, then I'm going to give myself strain about it. And so I am making my own fear. Whew. And then people say, well, what about the stuff you have to do? You have to do the stuff you have to do as long as you think you have to do it. That's the rule. Do the stuff you have to do as long as you think you have to do it. And not a moment longer. Promise? Promise me you'll do it as long as you think you need to do it.
Yeah.
Will y'all promise me you'll do it as long as you think you need to do it? If you think you need to sacrifice, you know, like the last thing in the world you want to do is see your mom on Sunday afternoon, but you gotta go. You know, you got these obligations, these shoes, these orders. You know, if you would feel more guilt not doing it than doing it, go and do it. Because the name of the game is decreasing your guilt, not increasing it. Because increasing your guilt is what creates pain and draws drama into your life, comes from guilt, unconscious guilt, according to the Course. So it's more important for you not to increase your guilt. Keep working on your mind, and then you watch that situation transform itself so that everybody's being made happy and nobody's sacrificing. That's the kind of solution that Spirit gives. It's always a solution in which no one loses. And since it's a solution in which no one loses, it is impossible for you to know what that solution is.
Right.
So every time you try to come up with a solution in which no one loses, you know you're not going to be able to do it at all. Because that's beyond us.
Right.
But Spirit can do it. So what does Spirit say? Well, Spirit says, the first thing I want you to do, as soon as you can, as often as you can, because you can't always do it at the beginning, do what you want to do and not what you don't want to do. Something that simple will start the path to knowledge and bliss. Then it says, Stop acting like you think you should, even though you don't want to. He says, because that produces constant behavior. You pretty much seem like the same person all the time, but you're going through a lot of strain. Because you're behaving the way you think you should, but you really don't want to. And that was my point. I just want to be able to express more and more and more and more love, more and more me, more and more authenticity. I want to give you more and more and more good stuff. That's what I really, in my heart, that's what I really want to do. I want the truth to come to me through me in a way that reaches you, in a way that's meaningful for you, in a way that's enjoyable and helpful to both of us. And I just want it to become more and more fun, more and more feeling, more and more everything real. That's my goal. That's my goal. So I have to be it in order to have it, right? So in both cases, the mind and the behavior are out of accord. And whenever your mind and your behavior are out of accord, it results in a situation in which you are doing what you do not wholly want to do. So if you're doing something you don't want to do, your mind and your behavior are out of accord. Your mind and your behavior are out of accord. Now, this is the problem with not doing what you want to do or making yourself do something that you don't really want to do. It arouses you. You ever been aroused? Well, what arouses you? A sense of coercion. All of a sudden, I feel like, man, I feel like I'm doing what I don't want to do all the time, and I'm behaving the way I think I should and really don't want to. I'm starting to feel like I'm being coerced, and then that produces rage, and then projection is likely to follow. So I put it this way. You keep doing what you don't want to do, keep doing what you don't want to do, you're going to feel more and more like life is forcing something on you that you don't want to do, and then at some point, it's going to produce rage. And once you get to rage, then attack, which is projection, is going to follow. In other words, I'm about to project on you that you're the cause of me doing what I don't want to do, because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be doing what I don't want to do. So the cause of that projection, I call it ring your neckion. Ring your neckion is about to follow. You know what I'm saying? Everybody ever felt green connection? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm the one that's creating it, because I'm constantly doing what I don't want to do and behaving the way I think I should but not really want to. So sooner or later, it kicks you off, and you call it the straw that broke the camel's back. And it's like the person does one little thing, and all of a sudden you blow up in total disproportion to what the person just did. You know what I'm saying? Just like I brush against his shoe, and he takes that stick and beats me to death. Now, that's an extreme reaction. But if he's been doing what he don't want to do, behaving like he thinks he should, doing what he don't want to do, behaving like he thinks he should, he's feeling that pressure, he's feeling coerced, he's feeling outraged, especially if I'm the one that he's doing it with, which happens a lot in relationships, until one day I friggin' lose it, is what we call it. So if you're good, that's why nice people climb on top of buildings and shoot 40 people. But their fashion sense will be beautiful.
Okay. Woo! Wow.
No, we don't know we paid the light gas and water.
It's not a real deep meaning.
I promise you, your lights will go off if you don't pay your bill. It's not the case. That's just a joke. So here's the sentence that will wind up everything that's been said so far. Whenever there is fear, it's because you haven't made up your mind.
Wow.
Whenever there is fear, it's because you haven't made up your mind. Wherever there's fear, it's just because you haven't made up your mind. Whenever there's fear, it's just because you haven't made up your mind. Wherever there's conflict, it's just because you haven't made up your mind about that. You're having conflict because you haven't made up your mind about that. You'd have less conflict if you said, I will not ever forgive you. Or, I will forgive you. But if you're trying to think, should I forgive you or should I not forgive you, you haven't made up your mind, and so you're producing fear and conflict for yourself. Make a decision. I always take maybe as no. And that just gets me out of the tune. Somebody said maybe, or I might, I go, no. Because then I won't get all caught up in that. You know, maybe I'll call you next week, maybe we'll get together next, you know, I go, no. And I go ahead and plan my day just like that ain't going to happen. So I won't be in conflict. Maybe it's a no, you know. And then the worst thing that happened, that it was a yes. And if they end up, it would have been a no anyway, I still would have won. You just can't lose by making up your mind. All right, then it goes on to say, your mind is split. You haven't made up your mind? Your mind is now split. And since your mind is split, your behavior is inevitably becomes erratic. I love you. I don't love you. I'm mad at you. I'm not mad.
I want to be with you. I want to get away from you. I love it right here. I wish I was somewhere else. I feel peace. I feel fine. Your behavior becomes erratic. You don't know what you want to do. You don't know how you feel.
Now, if you correct at the behavioral level, that means that if you stop doing what you don't want to do on the outside and stop acting like you're not doing what you want to do on the outside, but you still are faking with yourself, you still look like you're having some peace, but you still feel fear. So that's how you keep from fooling yourself about whether or not you're in accord with yourself, because no matter how you project yourself on the outside, if you feel fear on the inside, then you know you have not obliterated your fear and you're still not doing what you want to do. So it becomes impossible to deceive yourself once you start using your feelings correctly. Your feelings will always let you know ahead of time what you're about to give to yourself. Always. You know, I'm getting ready to hook up with you. I feel guilty about it. Then I know I'm ordering a punishment for being with you before I even ask you your name. So if we have a good time together, I'm going to punish myself for that. And if I have a bad time with you, that was my punishment. So either way it go, I'm not going to let myself have joy. I've seen it with myself. I've seen it with so many people in my experience. No matter what the situation is, they never happy. It don't make no difference because they're in a state of unhappiness in their mind. So therefore, it doesn't matter what they do out there. They're going to be miserable because it's all coming from a state of mind. You know, I love knowing that. I know as long as my state of mind is fear, it doesn't matter what I decide to do, I know I'm going to also make myself not enjoy that at some point. Because what? I wasn't happy in the first place. See, you get happy in the first place, then what happens is everything you do just adds to your happiness and makes you already feel good. You know, it's like, I already feel good, so, you know, I've already won.
Yeah.
So then it's just a battle of going out and feeling good about you and feeling good about you and feeling good about you. And if you're acting crazy and you got a deep call for love, I'll remind myself that you really want love. That's what you're really asking for. And I'll try to answer your call for love by being as happy as I can be in your presence to show you that there's an alternative to the way you be. You need to see somebody who really feels good when you feel bad so you know it's a possibility for you. But that's not the way we do it. We go seek out the person that will climb into the misery with us as fast as they can. And if they don't, we say they're not our friend. They feeling good, you feel bad. They still be feeling good. You go, well, they don't care. You should be down here and suffering with me if you really love me. And the other person says, no, I need to show you there's another way to be. If you stop doing what you don't want to do and start being true to your heart and asking yourself what you really want and not really doing it unless you really feel in accord with yourself, because I need to be a person that shows you what it's like when a person lives that way by being happy myself as a result. Then you'll know it'll work for you because we're the same. That's why we're friends. That's why we know each other. Mm-hmm. So if I can do it, you can do it. Besides, you need my strength. If you're feeling weak, if you've broken your leg, it's stupid for me to break mine too, so I have to lay down beside you. Now I'm not going to help you. Okay, I broke my leg, girl. Okay, just a minute. Correct. Now I'm going to hang. Who's going to call 911? See, you got a whole lot of friends who think it's the same as you, so all them ones in the place where you're injured, and they all break their legs. So get rid of that wrong people to join you in the suffering in order to be empathetic.
Yeah.
If I'm broke, I need to help my rich friend.
Woo!
full of understanding and common sense. We just don't hear it enough.
Yeah.
See, everybody got that because it makes sense. But I used to think that way. You didn't join me in the suffering, you weren't really my friend.
Yeah.
It is possible to reach a state in which you bring your mind under my guidance without conscious effort. It's possible to reach a state in which you bring your mind under the guidance of God without even consciously trying to. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
To bring your mind under the guidance of the higher self without having the effort to do it. Mm-hmm. Well, the Course says, guess what? When you say stuff like that, it implies a willingness you haven't developed yet. You haven't developed the willingness to let God take over. You haven't developed the willingness to let God take over. You haven't developed the willingness to let God take over. Let love take over. He says, and guess what? God can't ask more than you're willing to do. So love doesn't ask more than you're willing to do. Somebody that loves you never asks you to do more than what you're willing to do. Somebody that loves you does not want you to do more than you're willing to do. They want you to do what you're willing to do. So, of course, they said, well, let me tell you about your Creator. Your Creator isn't stupid. Your Creator wouldn't ask you to do something you're not willing to do. That's what doesn't love you ask you. What loves you says, I don't want you to do anything that you're not willing to do. So, therefore, if you want the strength to do something, if you want the strength to do something, the strength to do something comes from your undivided decision. When you make an undivided decision to do something, you will have the strength to do it. If you don't have the strength to do it, you haven't made an undivided decision to do it. So you go, well, I want to have the strength to do that. Then you need to make an undivided decision. You go, hey, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. I am clear. This is what I'm going to do. And as soon as you get clear about what you want to do, you'll have the strength to do it. If you don't have the strength to do it, you're not undivided in your decision. You're still in conflict in your decision. You know, it's like, I kind of want to do it. I think I want to do it. Should I do it? I hope I ought to do it. We're going to do it next week. You know, well, you know what that is? You're not having the strength to do it. That's why you can't go out and do it, because you haven't made an undivided decision to do it. Guess what else? You won't make an undivided decision to do something that you don't want to do. So if you're asking for something that you really don't want, you'll feel strain and fear, which lets you know you really don't want it. So you should be working on wanting it more than trying to figure out how to get it. Course says, if you were to focus on the goal as much as you focus on how you think you're going to achieve the goal would create the means for its accomplishment. The goal would create the means. Why? Because you'd have an undivided decision to do. So you'd have the strength to move forward. You know God is on your side because there is no conflict in your heart, and you only want love to come out of it in peace. So yes, at first it might take a little while for you to find something you really want to do. There may be a lot of things that come up that you think you want to do, and all of a sudden you realize, you know, I'm having a lot of little strain about this. I must not really want to do it yet. But you keep checking in. You keep checking in. And much to your surprise, sooner or later, probably sooner than later, you'll notice that there was something you said to yourself that you wanted to do, and you felt really peaceful and good about it. You didn't feel guilty about it. You didn't feel like there was anything wrong with that. You thought it was something you could do, and it was something you wanted to do. And it feels so good. It'll blow your mind after living your life most of the time living by shoulds and oughts and have-tos. Most people live by shoulds and oughts and have-tos. And then you don't have any kind of strain, and so then the power of love can come through you because there's no fear to block it. And when there's no fear to block it, then love goes out into your experience and goes inside everything in front of you and brings you back love. And that's the way it works.
All right.
That's the way it works. Yes. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Because that's the only thing you deserve. So what you do first is you make the undivided decision that you deserve happiness. You deserve love. You deserve companionship. You deserve unity. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. Make an undivided decision that you deserve it, even if you don't think you deserve it. You say it like that. Even if I don't think I deserve it, I deserve it. Even if I don't like myself, I deserve it. Even if I think I'm insecure and not enough, and it's never happened to me before, I deserve it, I deserve it, I deserve it. Regardless of what I think about it, I deserve it.
Yeah.
Make that undivided decision. Then you won't be in conflict. Even when I don't think I deserve it, I deserve it. Even when I doubt I deserve it, I deserve it. Even when I feel like I'm bad and I'm guilty, guess what? I deserve hell. That's my undivided decision. Earl deserves love is my undivided decision. Does Earl always feel that way? No. Does Earl always see it? No. Does Earl always act that way? No. But it's my undivided decision that no matter how I act, I want help. I want love. I want peace.
Yeah.
You can make that undivided decision regardless of your state of mind, which means there's no excuse for choosing to be out of conflict today. Because I'm not asking you to change to deserve it. I'm asking you to make an undivided decision that you deserve it. And I will see that for you until you see it for yourself. I love you.
Right.
You should acknowledge yourself for healing and power.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Whoa.
Whoa.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing with me in the love offering. My income comes through these classes, so I appreciate your being willing to be channels for abundance for all of us and to support Unity Temple. You're a blessing in my life. You're a total blessing. You know, I know the secret to prosperity. You know. I've given away over 10% of my income for years and years and years. And sometimes it wasn't a strain. Giving 20% wasn't a big request, you know what I mean? And then sometimes then what happens is when it starts to build up, it starts to test your ability to give. You know, giving 20%, you know, of $100 is one thing. Giving 20% of $100,000 is another. Or 20% of $10,000 is another. So you learn a lot about, then you begin to realize, wait a minute, it's here because at some level I gave. And there are other ways to give other than money. You know what I'm saying? But that's a good way too. You know, but like I said, talking about money and spiritual gatherings is always a challenge because we tend to separate the two. So they're supposed to be different, you know. So that's okay. That's okay. So here we go. Oh yeah, I'm okay. And the universe is great. Yeah. So Wednesday noon and Thursday 7 o'clock and Sunday 1 o'clock, and all my classes at earlcurdy.com. So go check out the website, and you can listen to classes and download classes. Okay. So I'm going to do a quick review. I have to have my right review music. Correction belongs in the only place where you can make correction. clear with yourself, there is only love or fear. There is only love or fear. So fear comes up whenever what you are doing conflicts with what you want to do. So ask yourself, give yourself a little test when you leave here. Ask yourself, where in my life am I in conflict about what I want to do? Where in my life am I doing what I don't want to do? Because that's making me have conflicting behavior. I never know how I'm going to feel from moment to moment. I don't know how I'm going to be from moment to moment. And I feel outraged because there's a part of me that knows it's intolerable what I'm doing to myself. There's a part of me that knows I deserve more than what I'm doing for myself. There's a part of me that knows I deserve to be happy. I deserve love. I deserve peace. And it's outrage. I'm no longer going to act the way I think I should, even though it's not the way I want to act. I'm going to try as fast as I can in little steps to be as authentic as I can. And if I feel like I just can't, it's too dangerous for me to just completely do what I want to do, then I'm not going to do it. Because I know I'll feel guilt. And if I feel guilt, I'm going to attract some kind of drama to myself. So I'm going to take this step by step. I'm going to be gentle with myself. I'm going to start with the little things. I'm just going to go to the movies I really want to go to. I'm just going to go to the restaurants that I really want to go to as much as possible. As much as possible. It's a process. It's a process. It's a process. So first of all, know that your peace comes from an undivided decision. Your peace comes from an undivided decision. My 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 peace comes from an undivided decision. Now we're going to do something. But only those who want to. Very important. Only those who want to. I'd like for you to say this with me so you can get it in your mind. My peace comes from an undivided decision. 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 My peace comes from an undivided decision.
Yes.
May the course be with you. I'll see you next time. hugs are available. Hug, hug.
And, oh, yeah. And don't forget, there is cake out there. Cake.
It's just supposed to show. You didn't even know you wanted some.
Don't forget.
So don't forget, the 11 o'clock service is out of sight, too. So I'm going to invite you to that. Thanks, mighty companions.
Thank you.